This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. With Tim Roy, I am Lawrence Scott, and we're joined by Warriors player development coach Seth Cooper, who has just welcomed the newest member to the Warriors family, to his family. Thanks for joining us, Seth.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yep, and a little Warriors tie to the baby as well. I had a baby boy 8 days ago, and the name is Cruz Cooper. So I guess with the Santa Cruz Warriors, we can have a little bit of a Warriors tie to him being right from his birthday.
That's awesome. And again, congratulations. And, you know, I guess the time that we're going through right now is something of the story that you'll be able to tell, you know, in years to come. And that that was out of this pandemic came a great moment of joy.
Yeah, my wife and I having our firstborn during this time period will always be something we remember back on when thinking about the last few months and the next couple weeks or months to come. Going through this process, I think, has really gave me a whole new appreciation for my parents and what they went through. And, you know, I didn't know it was possible, but really has made me love them even more and love my mom more than I already did for everything she did. And with that, I really want to give a big shout out to my wife, Corey. She is amazing. And these past months and past couple weeks, she really has been the star point guard. And I've really just been the role player. So wanted to give her a big shout out for that as well.
So when we think of what has been accomplished over the past couple of seasons here with the Warriors, and specifically your work the last season with particularly Alan Smilagic, and the way that a player in Santa Cruz can spend some time there but also be getting, you know, indoctrinated into the Fuller program and spend time with the Warriors team, and how you transitioned that. What has that been? What are the ways you've been able to help, and how have we seen Smiley progress here?
Yeah, it's been, you know, a lot of fun working with Alan, and you know, credit to him. He's very hardworking and driven, and really willing to do, you know, what he needs to do to try to become as good as he can be. With his age and just being turning 19 at the beginning of this season, you know, having the opportunity to play both in Santa Cruz and get a lot of minutes and get to just experience playing through mistakes and everything that goes with being on the court, but then also, you know, get some time this year playing with the Warriors and being able to be back and forth, and hopefully not in a way that was too exhausting for him, something that we were very cognizant of. That was, you know, a lot of fun and really rewarding to see, you know, the jump that Alan was able to make from the year before when he played with Santa Cruz to this year, and to see how his game was able to develop, and, you know, to hope that we can keep him on that path in the next few years to come.
Seth, I'm really intrigued with Alan, and I see a lot of great things there. And I just want to know from you, what do you see as his ceiling? Because it looks like from, you know, from the broadcaster seat that there's a lot of upside there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to be cliche, the sky's the limit for Alan. And I think, you know, when you look at his combination of size and skill in the way that the game is being played now, I think he can be a very, very good player in the NBA. And his ability to shoot the ball, play off the dribble, you know, he's getting stronger, he's working on his body, and those are things that will naturally come for, you know, a guy who's still just 19 years old and should have been a college freshman this year, and played in Serbia, played in a, you know, not in a really, really, really high-level league there. So this has been his first experience to, you know, playing against this level of player, and I think he can just continue to get better and better and better, and I'm sure we'll see that over the next few years, especially when you just have to keep reminding yourself he'll make flashes, and then, you know, you have to remind yourself that he is just 19 years old, and even in the G League, going up against 25, 26, 27-year-old men.
So as we get to know Smiley and some of the guys with Santa Cruz that play also with the Warriors and are able to use the G League experience to gain the experience that is helping the general Warriors program, we want to get to know you some too, a native of Madison, Wisconsin, and at Edgewood College in Madison. You played with one special member of that team that we know good and well, is the Warriors Director of Player Development and Warriors Assistant, Chris DeMarco. Take us back to that time period in college and playing with Chris at Edgewood.
Yeah, so Chris came on my senior year. He transferred into Edgewood and wasn't eligible to play until Christmas. So we actually only got to play together for the last, 15, 20 games of my senior season. But he stepped in and was, a big contributor right away. And it's funny, we were looking this past year, him and I are still hold four of the top five marks in Edgewood College history and free throws attempted in a season. So we were giving Alan a hard time one day about not drawing enough fouls, and funny to look back and see how many free throws him and I each shot, but had a good relationship with him, obviously playing with him. And, we both really went our separate ways, and we'd still stay in touch and talk, a couple times a year and catch up on what we were both doing within basketball as he joined the Warriors and built his way up. And I kind of bounced around back and forth between the college, the NBA, and the G League. And it's been, a lot of fun to be able to kind of come full circle with that and be back out here working with him.
You were a great player there. You were Lake Michigan Conference Player of the Year, and you're not so far removed from that, both you and Chris. And you're in this era of developing NBA players where every team is working with young players, trying to get them to grow faster than maybe we should think about it. But that's the way it is. And what I want to know is, what about teaching basketball really appeals to you? How to play the game?
I think there's a lot of things, and one, obviously, basketball is something that I always personally loved and really devoted myself to and figured out kind of on my own, back then. And I had people and my dad and my uncle and coaches that, were there to help me along the way, but really figuring out on my own, especially in college, how can I make myself better? And that's something that I've kind of now tried to bring to when I work with different players and have had a lot of experience doing that as well, that I think, you just continue to learn from. But I've always just loved the game so much ever since I was little, and now being able to work with guys and try to figure out exactly how to make each player better and that's not a blank statement, and what works for one player is not going to work for the other, both in their way they play, their skills, their strengths, their weaknesses, their mindset, and who they are. And that's something that I've really enjoyed, and was able to do this year with guys like Allen and Kai Bowman and some of the other guys I was around, is, figure out what makes them tick and what they're going to respond to and how they're going to each individually go about getting better, and then try to maximize that over, all our different avenues of resources, being film and workouts and sending them articles and just trying to increase their overall NBA knowledge.
It's amazing here. You talk about the time you spent in the college ranks plus G League and NBA, and we'll kind of go through it here, but there's a ton of connections to the Warriors organization in a larger way. I so I'll start with working under Mike Dunleavy Sr., who now Mike Jr. is with the Warriors basketball operations side of things. But then it was a role for you within the Clippers organization. How did that get your feet wet within the NBA and really start your career going down a path that has led you to where you are today?
Yeah, I was, fortunate enough to get a job right out of playing in college, working in the video room with the Clippers, and Mike Dunleavy was the coach, and he was really big into film and scouting reports and prep. And, I thought for me, it really gave me a kind of master's degree in NBA basketball, especially getting in at that video room stage where I was just watching and breaking down 4, 5, 6 games a day. And, everything I did there was so basketball centric and focused, and being able to just watch that many games and start learning NBA offenses and players and all of that, I thought doing that, looking back, starting my career in the film room, and diving into the film and the video and in such detail gave me a great foundation for getting into coaching and in having kind of being able to have a diverse background since then within kind of the different levels of basketball.
You've worked in the G League, not only for the Warriors, but also for the Maine Red Claws. And Luke Lox was there, another Warrior development coach when you were there. And I'm curious to see what you think about the evolution of the G League and how it's going and why it's really more important now than ever.
Yeah, I was able to, you know, be with the Red Claws, which is the Celtics organization, was there 2 years as the associate head coach there, and did have the pleasure of coaching Luke, and Luke was great. He had a really good stretch with us and was a lot of fun to coach, and obviously, you know, had a very high IQ, which has probably helped him really transition over to the coaching side very seamlessly. But, you know, I could tell then, I didn't know much about the G League when I got into it. When I was with the Clippers, it was still wasn't used as much. We didn't have a team. I'd go watch the South Bay Lakers. They would play the early game before the Lakers at Staples Center, so I'd go out there and watch them play. But once I got into it and really, really started learning the league and being involved with it, you could just see the level of player and how high level it was, and even the guys that never made it to the NBA, how close they were, but also just how many NBA players were in the G League at some time or another. Most games, you know, even then and now, there's probably 10 to 12 to more players on the court in a G League game that have played in an NBA game, whether it's guys that are looking to try to get back to that level or guys that are building their way up. And, you know, for us this year to be able to have, you know, Alan Smilagic down there and Kai Bowman down there, and Jordan Poole had a very positive stretch down there. And, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson comes from the G League and ends up, you know, being able to be on the Warriors and a big contributor down that stretch as, you know, our team had changed a little bit towards the end of the year. So I think it's just going to continue to grow, and more and more resources are being put into it. And I think there's going to keep being a ton of success stories from guys either grinding their way through the G League or teams, you know, like the way we use it and using it to really develop guys and to get guys better to where they're ready to contribute in for the Warriors organization.
Your history with developing players goes back to some of your time in college too, as we're joined by Seth Cooper here. And I tell you, the interesting story that we always followed here in the Bay Area as it related to Indiana basketball was that Tom Crean was Jim Harbaugh's brother-in-law. His sister Joni married to Coach Crean. And then you started watching this Indiana team, and at the time you saw this really interesting player who was starting to develop in a short period of time there, Victor Oladipo, who's obviously become an NBA All-Star, and just the athleticism there, and coming out of DeMatha High School, and you knew all the potential was there, and then you realize what an interesting family background he has, with his father being a doctor and his own talents as a singer, and you see all of this on the court manifested in true talent. But when you were with Indiana, you know, shortly after, Victor was quoted as saying, "Without Coach Cooper, I wouldn't have become the player I became in college or had the success I did." Certainly high praise. When you think of Victor Oladipo and what you're able to do there and hearing that kind of praise, what was the relationship and how did seeing some success like that with a guy that then goes into the league, a very high draft pick, and the success he's had help fuel you for knowing that, hey, this is something that I am good at?
Yeah, exactly. You know, starting at the end, once you see him be the number two pick in the draft and go in the NBA and right away become a very, very good NBA player, you know, that definitely put some validation to me in terms of not only my ability to help guys get better, but also just all the work that we put in really paying off. And, you know, Victor got to Indiana. He was the 144th ranked player in his high school class. He had played power forward at DeMatha. He didn't start at DeMatha till his senior year, although that was a very talented, you know, high school team they had. But to not be a starter as a junior and end up as a second pick in the draft, leaving Indiana early. And he came in, and right away he had, you know, the energy and the infectious personality and all those attributes. But on the court, you know, you could see flashes in his athletic talent, but the skill level and the progressions of, you know, knowing plays and making reads and seeing things and learning was at that stage very, very raw. And, you know, from the first day I got there, I just remember him and I were in the gym, and, you know, it was two-a-days, it was three-a-days, it was mornings, it was nights. He was relentless in that regard, and I think is one thing that, you know, was able to make him really at the end take the jumps that he made. But, yeah, we definitely spent a lot of time and were able to start, you know, watching film together. And back then you had the rules on, the NCAA really limited what work could be done with players by the coaching staff. But in my first couple of years there as a graduate assistant, I was able to be on the court and kind of do all the player development. And from getting his shooting better to working on his ball handling to his defense to just overall seeing the game, it was a lot of hard work and maybe you'd say blood, sweat, and tears that went into Victor, you know, becoming the polished player that he was. And you know, when people ask me what stood out about him, the one thing he always used to tell me is he'd say, "Seth, I just don't know what I'm going to do if I don't make it." And, you know, that always gave me more motivation to continue to push him and hold him to that high standard, because I knew, you know, that's where he wanted to get himself. But yeah, very happy for him and what he's been able to do in his career, and, you know, even coming back this past year off the injury.
So I guess my final question for you, Seth, is kind of along that line. Like, he was telling you about his stress about, you know, what am I going to do if this doesn't work out for me? And you use that for motivation, whether it be college or pro. When you're dealing with individuals and they're stressed in their lives, some, a lot of them aren't playing the kind of minutes they want to play, and you're trying to get them there. How do you go about motivating these young guys, and how much psychology goes into it?
I think coaching is, you know, teaching is, it's a lot of psychology, and it's, you know, as Steve Kerr is so amazing at, you know, he knows the X's and O's down pat, but he knows it goes so far beyond that, to the culture, to the relationships, to the messaging. And that's been an amazing thing for me to be here and, you know, to learn from him and just to, you know, be around him every day and the way he leads. But, you know, I remember this year with Allen, he had some moments and some success playing for the Warriors and had some games where he was playing, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game. And I remember, you know, one of the late night drives, we were driving from San Francisco after a Warriors game back down to Santa Cruz, where he was going to practice the next day and play the day after that. And he was very upset and frustrated in that he didn't play. I think that game he had played 2 minutes in the first half and made one really good play and a couple not so good plays, and then didn't get back in the second half and, you know, had kind of been played some minutes before that. And I could tell he was really frustrated, and I just, you know, had the chance. And that's one thing I appreciate on our drives back and forth to Santa Cruz and San Francisco. We got a chance to talk about basketball, but also about life and, you know, culturally where he's from, but, you know, really explaining to him what he's trying to do is very, very hard. You know, being a really good NBA player, and for him, he wants to be a great NBA player. His goal is to be an all-star. And to explain to him how hard that is and how few people are able to do that. And then when you look at, you know, outside of lottery picks, top 10 picks, the amount of guys that do that each year and how small of a window that is, and really just telling them what you're trying to do is extremely hard and how rare it is. And there's going to be a path and a process and ups and downs and a ton of hard work, but you know, you have to be able to keep working each and every day to build that up. It's just not going to come easy, or else I would have done it, you would have done it, you know, everyone would do it if you could just kind of wake up and be that good in the NBA. And you know, I think it's just finding what buttons push guys and also what motivates them and then what challenges them, and a combination of that to, you know, really pushing them and challenging them and helping them become the best players they can be, and also, you know, fit in with the great culture Coach Kerr's established and be really the best person they can be as well.
Seth, we love your candor, your expertise, and congratulations to you and your wife and your entire family with the birth of Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!